Goodman with Sharifa Qudus. Thanks for joining us.
On the road again.
Nearly 700,000 Americans were arrested on marijuana charges last year. That's an enormous waste of law enforcement resources and terribly unfair to those arrested and their families. It's time we stopped arresting adults who smoke marijuana responsibly. For more information, visit Normal's website at www.normal.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL and tell them Willie sent you.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. Time is exactly 6 o'clock, and that means it's time for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Hi there.
Wow. We've had quite an experience since the last show. The Next Hope is over. We survived it. It's still sort of going on in a way because, just today, for instance, we had to leave New York by train because somehow all of our vehicles wound up in different places. And we had to return the big 24-foot truck that we rented to bring all the equipment out. I think we made it with 10 minutes to spare. But boy, that was fun. Wasn't that fun?
It was a lot of logistics. It was enjoyable, though. I think we endured and got it done in good time, and mm-hmm. we had fun along the way.
Yeah, we're talking about just returning the truck. We're not talking about anything else because, returning the truck is the most exciting part of the whole experience.
But the train worked really well. I mean, we were able to get places, right? I mean,
It took us along the track from Jamaica to Port Jefferson or wherever where did we get off? We got off at Stony Brook, didn't we?
Yeah, we were not.
It's so confusing. But here's the thing, and the reason we sound a little flustered, we got back, and it turns out that we don't have any power out here on Long Island, because apparently there was a thunderstorm yesterday, and that's enough to knock out all the power, and that happens quite a bit. So we've had no power, and I can't even get online. I couldn't get online yesterday, can't get online today. And I just want to find out what people are saying about the Next Hope. Actually, we just went online here because the radio station, believe it or not, the computer's working. And we have the ability to connect to the internet, the global internet.
World Wide Web.
The World Wide Web. We're logging on to the World Wide Web right now. Yeah, as Joe Biden would say, we need the web number. right?
Yes.
Web page number.
Do you have the correct one?
Well, yeah. I'm looking at articles now. Well, first of all, okay, to start with, the Next Hope is over. It took place from Friday to Sunday, and I think we made history. I think it was the best one ever. And, well, you tell me, Kyle. You were working really hard as a volunteer and as just a general person who did a lot of things. You carted a lot of Club Mate, for one thing.
Yes, I did.
What do they call that? A barback? Is that the term?
Yes, a barback.
What is a barback?
A barback is someone that works for the bartender and basically stocks all the liquor or beer, whatever drinks are necessary. And they also cut up all of the limes, lemons, divvy up the cherries. And
we had limes and lemons and cherries?
No, we didn't have that, but I'm describing the barback's
job. Oh, okay.
And in this case, it was about mate, Club Mate, and mm-hmm. I did about 12 cases at a time, and I did that probably about 6 times throughout the weekend, and I think it did, there were about 3 other of those cartloads that other people helped with.
I'll tell you, the Club Mate was really, it was insane how people were going for that.
It was a hit.
It really was, and a lot of people were introduced to it for the first time. Unfortunately, we can't have any Club Mate now because it's all warm, because the refrigerator's been off for 2 days. But a lot of people at the conference got it for the first time. Many people came back to the conference for the express purpose of getting more. But in addition to that, we had all kinds of fun talks and activities. I have to say, there were hitches. There were all kinds of things, challenges we had to deal with, as is the case anytime you plan anything. But for the most part, it went off fabulously. It went off incredibly. No real problems that we weren't able to overcome. What was the first problem that you can think of? I want to give people a sense of what was it like behind the scenes at the Next Hope. Basically, we had to meet a whole bunch of trucks to deliver everything from tables and chairs to AV equipment. I guess part of the challenge is finding AV equipment that we can afford to rent.
Right.
That will give us what we want. We had 3 speaker tracks going pretty much throughout the day and night, and we had to make sure that it works.
Yeah, taking deliveries, that was a big deal, getting everybody synced up and trying to keep people from, you know, running into each other and keep things moving along. But it was pretty fluid. I mean, we had a lot of volunteers, and I think that made the difference,
mm-hmm.
is having people that were there to support the core volunteers. And everybody seemed to, it seemed like when you needed help, you'd get 3 people. And that made the difference.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were able to get stuff moving around and keep from stepping on each other's toes, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I can't even think, what was the first problem? I mean, it went so well.
It really did.
And people were complimenting. They thought it was as much better. Everybody who had volunteered before, even people who had maybe never been.
Well, that's the reason. I think you hit the nail on the head. Volunteers. Volunteers are the key to anything. We had hundreds, literally hundreds of volunteers. And by the way, there's hundreds of people standing behind you right now.
Oh, my gosh.
We have all these engineering students that are passed. Hey, welcome. All these people that are seeing WUSB for the first time, I think, from high school.
Perhaps.
They're from high school, right? They're from high school?
The high school.
High school, okay. Is it one high school all over the island? All over the place? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Nobody's listening anyway.
Perhaps.
Who's the representative?
Perhaps these are some...
Elect a representative and send them in here, and they can explain what these people are about. Okay, we have an appointed representative. Just go up to the microphone and tell us who you are, where you're from.
Hi, I'm Ryan Brown, and I'm from Comac.
Comac, okay. That's a little bit to the west.
Yep.
And these guys are from all over the place?
Yep, there's some from Jersey, West Hamptons.
New Jersey. Wow, how exotic. Okay, and the Hamptons. All right, cool. What's the furthest away somebody is from? Anything beyond New Jersey? Ohio, perhaps? California?
Jersey.
Okay, well, Jersey's pretty far away. And you guys are all what, engineering high school students?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Sophomore to seniors, so.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, when you say engineering, when I was in high school, we didn't have majors or anything like that. Are you taking a course over the summer?
We're taking a course on electrical engineering, and we're doing stuff with robots and radios and stuff like that.
Wow, you should have come to our conference. We had robots at our conference, and have you heard of 2600 and the Next Hope and all that stuff?
Yeah.
You have? Wow, cool. This is our badge. See how cool our badge is? Has got electronic gizmos on it. Maybe Kyle, you can explain what the badge did.
We had badges that are RFID. They're active RFID. And basically, it broadcasts a special number 4 times every second, and we were able to track people around the conference for about 36 to, you know, all weekend.
All weekend long,
yeah.
Watching where people were going.
And we got a lot of data and stuff, and what they did is they tied it all together and made it into, like, a social networking app. And you were able to, like, meet people, and there were some games, and even some spooky things.
You could,
like,
avoid people, too.
Yeah, you could
if
avoid people,
you knew
people
when
too,
somebody
yeah.
was in a room, you could leave the room and go yeah. somewhere else.
But it was a lot of fun, and people were hacking their badges and turning them into different kinds of devices, and yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You guys talk about
Sounds
hacking
awesome.
At all? Did you talk about hackers or anything like that? Or
so far, not really.
Yeah?
So.
Any opinion on hackers? Good, bad, indifferent?
Well, it depends on what they do. If they destroy all the information or do stuff like that, mm-hmm. then it kind of sucks. But
right.
if they're doing stuff like creating new freeware or stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
then it tends to be good for at large, although some mm-hmm. of the businesses can get kind of pissed off.
Well, yeah, some of the businesses need to sometimes. But yeah, I think that's an enlightened approach to it.
What are you holding in your hand? It looks like some sort of electronic device. Have you built that, or what is that?
Yep. Today, half the group dealt with robotics, while the other half did radios, and we actually made an AM receiver radio
uh-huh.
that also plays it out, so.
Wow. Can you turn it on? Will it make noise?
Sure.
Okay. Hang on. This may blow our equipment apart, but that could only be a good thing.
It'll give them more things to work on.
Yeah, exactly. Is it making any noise? Like, I hear something.
It's only...
It's a radio.
Yeah.
Wow. That must be our signal. It sounds about
yeah.
what we sound like over there.
And then, it's a bit fuzzy, but... Thank
you very much.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
All right. Well, you know, your crowd has abandoned you. They've all gone into the other room. But if anyone else in your crowd wants to come in and say hi, you guys are welcome to it.
All right.
And are you planning on coming to Stony Brook for college? You are. Are you all coming to Stony Brook?
I'm not sure. A couple of us are saying yeah, and others are saying, like,
it's a great place. It really is. It's a fun place to learn a lot about life and sometimes classes, but mostly radio and fun things like that.
Yeah, it seems really awesome so far, so
all right.
to go here.
Well, enjoy yourself.
Keep it up.
All right, take care.
See you.
Well, you never know what to expect here at the radio station, but we have all these kids in the studio coming in. And did you want to say something, too? Or just waving? Okay. A lot of people's coming in and waving. That's fine, too.
That is so neat. I think that was really special.
I like seeing new people.
But, yeah.
I'm sick of the old people. That's
perhaps they are going to volunteer at some point, you know? There you go. It's all about volunteers.
It is about volunteers because everybody here at the radio station is volunteering. And people at The Next Hope, they were volunteering. We accomplish amazing things through volunteer efforts.
Absolutely.
That's all that matters. So,
yeah.
Yes. I think they're just watching. They're just watching. You guys want to say anything or no? Okay, we have a cautious approach here. And who are you?
Alex Frieder from Dix Hills.
Dix Hills. That's near Huntington and to the
close
west.
Close by.
Okay, and you're another engineering high school student.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's really fun.
Yeah? Did you build anything? Or you?
I was in the robot half the group.
In the robot half, okay.
Yeah, none of our robots actually worked today.
They never did.
Yeah, we spent about 5 hours working on them, putting all the wires and everything,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have to spend more time on Thursday. Hopefully, then they'll work.
Yeah. What was your robot supposed to do?
It senses if there's a line underneath it and follows that line,
uh-huh.
so you can just randomly draw a line somewhere and it'll follow it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I hope to see a robot doing that someday. I hope to see robots doing lots of things, you know, but I never seem to get to see that. They don't ever seem to. But you guys are the future. Are you going to come to Stony Brook?
Well, I'm only a sophomore, so
uh-huh.
I have 3 more years to decide.
Yeah,
but
take your time. Take your time. And
it's on my list.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of radio? You think radio is still something worthwhile?
Yeah, radio is amazing.
Yeah? What kind of radio do you listen to?
Rock, classical rock.
Uh-huh. And anything on the non-commercial part of the dial? Have you ever heard of the non-commercial part of the dial before this?
No.
Check out Below 92 on the FM dial. You'll find all kinds of surprises.
I will do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great seeing you.
I had fun.
All right. So, yes. Now, we were talking about The Next Hope. And you want us to... no, that's okay. What about that food across the hall? Is that still there or is that gone? It's still there? Okay, these people brought food with them, too. That's why we're so nice to them. We might go and get it later. I have a cookie in my hand. They gave me a cookie for some reason, and it's melting. But, Kyle, what were you saying about the conference?
Well, we were talking about problems and getting it set up and stuff, but I really, I'm lost for any real hang-ups.
There were no problems. There were no problems that I can see, but, I mean, there were problems, but nothing crippling, you know?
No, and I think we were able to take care of ourselves. I don't think any of the volunteers were too, run ragged, or I think everybody got breaks and was able to get somewhat...
Wasn't there one guy who worked 45 hours or something?
Yeah, some of them weren't getting enough sleep. We had to really remind people to hydrate and stay healthy, but I don't know.
I had to knock somebody unconscious to get them to go to sleep, you know? And I didn't enjoy... Well, I did enjoy it, but I knew I shouldn't have. And I knew that, you know, this was for the you know, they're good. But yeah, people sometimes drive themselves to the extreme, you know? And us, for instance, we got maybe 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, but we were able to wake up. I wake up without an alarm clock, and, you know, you're raring to go. I mean, you feel tired, but you got to get back into it.
I think that was indicative of the excitement and the enthusiasm that people had. Mm-hmm. People really wanted to make this work, you know, no matter what, even when there were hang-ups. I think that community and that cohesion really shined this weekend. And even, you know, in times where there was, you know, a little bit of turmoil, a little bit of controversy, everybody really stuck together and kept it, mm-hmm. kept it an exciting and positive experience. I don't know. It just really seemed to work.
Right. Well, you just sort of dive into it, and there's something that comes over you where you say, and I think anyone in the volunteer world, including volunteer firemen or people who volunteer for all kinds of global organizations, not that we're on any level equivalent to that, but you get the same kind of spirit where something needs to be done, you're tired, you've been working a lot, but you know what, if it's not going to get done any other way, you're going to jump in and do it.
Yeah.
It's that feeling.
Or they're sharing. Someone will see that somebody else needs help, they'll jump in and they'll hand off, and that fluid communication, I think, it really showed this weekend. I was really amazed. And I'd seen the event, the Hope Conference, from different eyes before. I had been an attendee and that kind of thing, and just sort of sitting back and watching a lot of the talks. And I know they were going on, mm-hmm. and I did get to see a couple of them, but I really got to appreciate the amount of work that goes into putting on and hosting an event. And I'm really, really amazed that you do what you do and stay positive about it. And it really shows that you're working out the kinks and that you've sort of gotten, you know, a sense of what to expect. Because I think the only problems that we got were new problems, mm-hmm. and sort of small details, right?
We've got such an amazing crew, it makes the problems almost non-existent. Things happened. I didn't even find out about the problem until after it was solved.
Yep.
For instance, there was, I think on the first day, we had these federal law enforcement agents. I'm not sure if they were FBI or just Homeland Security. They showed up and they demanded entry to the conference. I think about five of them or so, because we had quite a few controversial people there, and they wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to follow them, possibly make arrests, who knows what. And our security chief, we do have a security chief, basically said... Yeah, that's what he said. I couldn't say that over the air, so we had to beep it out. No, that's an SMS coming in. I left my phone on, both phones on deliberately, because I'm expecting a lot of messages. Things are still happening. It's a fluid situation. But what happened then was these five federal agents came in and wanted free entry, and the security chief said, look, if you have a warrant, you can come in. If not, you have to buy admission like everybody else. And they bought admission. They bought tickets. They had to. And that's the kind of thing. You have to deal with situations, deal with potential problems, and not worry about who you're talking to. Just know that you're doing the right thing. And we have so many people with so much integrity that it worked out so incredibly well. Our security team really was fantastic this year. They're fantastic every year. But this year, they're really stretched and taxed with all sorts of challenging problems, which we'll get into in a moment. I'd also like to open up the phone lines today. Anybody out there who wants to call in and talk about it. Of course, we'll be talking about this tomorrow night and Off the Hook as well. But those of you who have trouble getting through to that show or can't wait till that show, write down the number 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. In about, 10 minutes or so, we'll open up the phone lines. A little bit early this evening.
Cool.
But, yeah, I'd like to hear from all sorts of people. One thing we did, I believe this was Thursday night, just to show how crazy we had to be sometimes. I guess I should start reading these messages. One thing we had to do, we were faced with where to put the van, the 2600 van that had brought all kinds of equipment in, then the huge 24-foot truck, which was really... I don't know if anyone listening has ever driven something that big. It's not an 18-wheeler, but it's to me it seems pretty close. It's a big truck. And driving that through city streets is quite a challenge. You got to be careful how you turn. You could clip a car easily if you don't turn properly in the back, and it's very different from driving a car. You have to think a lot more. And I had to drive that around. Greg Newby drove it into the city. But here's the thing. Parking that thing, well, we could either do what we did last time and park it on the street and get a whole lot of parking tickets and wind up spending a huge amount of money to pay for those, or we could go to a lot and be charged almost the same amount, in excess of $100 a day. Just didn't seem palatable. So the only real option was for two people to drive the truck and the van back out to Long Island, where we could park for free, and then simply take another vehicle back in, park that someplace else, and not have to worry about it until we had to bring stuff back on Monday. Well, it turned out really the only two people that could pull it off were you and me.
Yes.
And so late Thursday night, we just had to take off and drive these two vehicles all the way out here, leave them, then come all the way back in. Cost a few hours, but it had to get done. And that's the kind of spirit I'm talking about, that you just sort of throw yourself into something, even though it's not what you want to do. You'd rather be doing something else. I would have rather have been there doing other things. But you know what? Everybody else had a job to do at the conference. Everybody was building things. And all I could really do was supervise and say, you know, ask questions or deal with things that maybe wouldn't be a problem in the first place. So I was happy to do that, and you, of course, deserve a lot of credit for doing that. Kyle,
thank you.
Kyle did so much at the conference behind the scenes, as did many, many people, but I think you had a really wide variety of tasks that you dove into.
Yeah, a lot of what I did was just be available to you and to other members of the volunteer staff. I know there were people that showed up for a little bit at a time to help out with anything they could, whether it was... the AMD project for the badges, or the impromptu streaming radio station, Radio Statler, or even Club Mate, just working the register and selling bottles and cases to keep people refreshed. I basically was available like that all weekend, and it was really interesting. I didn't get to see the talks, as I alluded to before. I saw a couple of them, a couple of the big ones that were really, really packed and really interesting. I was able to stop for a couple of those, but most of the stuff I was doing was just walking around, checking in with people, doing the odd Club Mate delivery, checking in with registration, making sure those guys were okay. Even the guy cleaning the bathrooms. You know, you got to support those guys. You know, he was watching some doors and taking care of some of that stuff. And
well, you know, you mentioned three things just now, all of which deserve a lot more time. But basically, Radio Statler was incredible this year. They were broadcasting around the clock, simulcasting talks, doing radio shows, playing interesting music, doing interviews, all that kind of thing. It was radio broadcast over the internet. In fact, I was listening a few times. I had to listen to find out what was going on and at the conference when I wasn't actually nearby what was going on.
I believe they tallied about 1,500 unique listeners, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm, including 300 at a time at one point, which is pretty phenomenal, I think.
Yeah.
You also mentioned registration. Registration, thanks to the efforts of Red Hat and Junes, among others,
I nearly forgot.
It was incredible this year because it was all computer driven. We had pre-registration, didn't mail out tickets, had tickets emailed to people.
It was a QR barcode, wasn't it?
It really was.
That worked fantastically. Apparently, you know, it's just amazing.
Modeled after Hacking at Random in Holland last year. And as usual, the Europeans give us a lot of cool ideas. And of course, the badge project being another one of those, with the RFID tracking and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I checked in with those guys early on because I'm a really big fan of the Open Beacon project, mm-hmm. and what you've been doing with the badges. I think it's a really interesting concept to prove and to let people play with instead of being forced to use it at some job that they hate or otherwise. You know, getting to really get their hands dirty. And this isn't just like an RFID that's passive, that they're just putting in things. This is an active one. It actually talks to any sort of RFID reader. And I mean, this is like kind of the advanced version, and you basically gave people a circuit board that they can play with this entire technology. They can create a reader, a sniffer, or just a beacon, a badge itself, as it normally is, or write their own stuff for it and repurpose the entire thing. And that platform, they needed a little help getting started. They were still developing things. It's a big deal, creating your own circuit board and then installing a network and then creating a back-end system. It's basically three components, databases, an aggregator, and then a web front-end for people to register their names and stuff. Sounds simple, but it's very complex, getting it all together and then creating apps for phones and games and you know, making it like a richer experience. And so they were still developing a lot of stuff, and that was sort of one of the first things I did when I got back from helping you out with the vehicles. Because I felt, you know, gosh, I really want to support these guys so that they can get up and relax a little bit and see their work in action and not be in a frenzy all the way until the end of the weekend. So I really just checked in. I don't know like some of the nitty gritty of what they were doing, but I was really trying to just support them and say, hey, do I need to find developers? Do you guys need to just be left alone? What do you guys need? And just sort of shoulder surfed and just made sure that they were able to get what they needed so that everybody walking around with the badges would actually get to use them and then in return have their system, you know, actually be put to use so that they can get some data and continue on with that project, because I'd love to see more of it.
Many thanks to Miloš Šover in Germany for his help and inspiration in all this. And it was a global effort. It really was.
Yeah,
and,
certainly.
And fantastically done. And, of course, you also mentioned the cleaning of the bathrooms. That might sound like a lousy job to have, but our good friend John Harlicker was able to pull it off fantastically and interact with all the people because he's one of us. He's part of the community. In fact, the guy cleaning out the bathrooms is the guy who directed Urchin, the movie that we played, I believe, in at The Last Hope, or was it Hope Number 6? I don't remember which one we did.
I'm not exactly sure myself.
Might have played it at both, but I was in that film. That's the film where I get killed in a bathroom.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Please don't.
You've never seen it.
I've never seen it. I haven't been able to find it or download it.
It's an interesting death scene, I'll say that. I actually drew real blood on that, but they didn't use it. They used the scene, not the blood. But John is incredibly talented. He was director of Urchin. I'm looking at his IMDb profile right now. So, the guy cleaning the bathroom is on IMDb. That's how we do things. We mix and match, and it just worked out. We volunteer to do various things, and this was the guy that we felt would do a good job with this, and he got into the spirit. And
yeah,
it's a good spirit
to get
into.
I never once saw him, you know, kind of down in the dumps, or he was going the whole time.
Right.
And, you know, those are the kind of people you really – it seemed like a silly thing for me to mention in this context, but you know what? Those are the people. Those are the people that support – you know, the hotel, they're going to be happy because their facilities aren't getting messed up. If there's an incident, broken glass, there's lots of, you know, bottles. We're selling this really great soft drink. So, of course, you know, he's right there on top of everything. And he's even a little bit of a line of security, you know. So, I mean, that's just crucial. And you really got to thank and appreciate those people because, you know, they're your support, you know. I was always one to appreciate the maintenance and the people that really take care of things that other people might overlook. They might not want to do that. And there were a dozen, if not, you know, hundreds of examples of that with our volunteers. And it was amazing.
It really was. And we've just picked a handful of the things that were going on. There were so many more to talk about. We'll try to cover them all. But I'd like to look at some of the media coverage. And since since we don't have any power at our Long Island base here, And I don't know when it's going to come back because apparently they can't find the problem. They don't know what exactly the problem is. They've got all kinds of technicians out there looking for it now.
Well, there's been a bunch of outages out here with there the happened, nasty but, weather.
But
so.
This one, they can't figure out why. And we spent the afternoon leading a LIPA guy around through forest and up poles and things like that, telling them where their own wires are because they literally can't figure it out. It's outdated, overgrown by shrubbery and things like that. So they're on it now, I hope. And maybe I'll be able to get back online and start tweeting and updating and reading email and things like that.
No pun intended, but more power to them.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for that. I haven't really had a chance. I've talked to a bunch of reporters over the phone, but I haven't really had a chance to read email or see anything that has been posted about the conference. So I'm looking at this now for the first time. This story, I just typed in the Next Hope on Google News. WikiLeaks founder no show at New York City Hacker Conference. And that is true. Julian Assange was supposed to be our keynote speaker on Saturday. And as you may know, he is most wanted by federal authorities right now because of the whole WikiLeaks incident recently. Very, very short synopsis of what happened here. We asked Julian to be the keynote speaker after the video of U.S. troops firing on unarmed journalists, among other people, and killing a whole lot of folks.
Collateral murder.
It's called collateral murder. Look it up and watch it if you're entertained by that kind of thing. And that took place, I believe, over in Afghanistan, right? Was it Iraq?
Was Iraq.
Was it Iraq? Okay.
Yes, it
There's
was.
Another one that happened in Afghanistan. There's all
it
kinds
was in
of
a
videos.
Working class neighborhood in Iraq.
Here's the thing. Somebody released that or leaked that video to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks published it, and it was a big scandal. And the general feeling was that this was a good thing, that something like this was leaked so that the public could find out about it, so that we all knew the truth. And yeah, it was a leak. It was a serious matter. But sometimes you have to do things like that. Oftentimes you have to do things like that. Basically, we asked Julian to give the keynote based on his efforts to do things like this. But then what happened, the mass media printed a story about a former computer hacker named Adrian Lamo, who I believe the story was that a film which was mostly about him had been leaked somehow onto the internet. And a number of people thought he was the one who leaked it, but nobody really knows who leaked that. Anyway, that made it to Wired.com. And then the person allegedly, and I have to say allegedly because we don't know what's what until things are decided in courtrooms and things like that. But allegedly, the person who had the leak in the first place, who made the leak of the video, contacted Adrian as a result of that article, thinking he was a kindred spirit, and began a dialogue with him where he basically confessed to Adrian that he was the one who had leaked the video and, in addition, had leaked, I believe, 260,000 classified documents. Now, that has never been verified. We don't know for sure if that's even true. But according to Adrian Lamo, that last revelation made him feel compelled to turn him in to the military authorities and say he's leaking all kinds of information and must be plugged or stopped or whatever you do to a leaker. That caused all kinds of consternation in the hacker community because not only did you have somebody who was thought of as a hero by pretty much most of the hackers out there, Julian Assange and the person who allegedly leaked those videos and maybe those documents, you had them basically having their lives completely disrupted, even destroyed, because of somebody else in the hacker community. So there was all this controversy, and the biggest controversy of all, of course, was that they were all converging onto the Next Hope. Julian Assange was supposed to be the keynote speaker. Adrian Lamo announced publicly that he was going to attend, and he did. Julian Assange was not able to attend because we were able to verify that if he had set foot in the country, he would have been immediately detained and questioned. Now, up until the last moment, we were thinking of possible ways to pull it off, but there was no way to pull it off safely, to guarantee his freedom, to guarantee him getting out of the country in one piece. And in the end, that's what matters. That's what we have to look at. And I think the right thing was done in getting a replacement speaker for him. Now, Later on in the conference, we also address the issue quite directly. We'll get to that in a moment. But let me look at the story here, because this is actually the first time I'm seeing it. As a commenter noted, WikiLeaks founder, the WikiLeaks founder, did not attend the Next Hope Hacker Conference at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Julian Assange was scheduled as the keynote speaker Saturday, but perhaps reports of federal agents scoping out the event on Friday prompted the mysterious... This is so badly written, I'm sorry, but there's words left out. prompted the mysterious to change his mind. You know, we were reading The Times, we were reading Newsday on the train out here today, both commenting on how sloppily written, spelling errors everywhere. There's a story in the New York Times today that I was reading, and it just ended mid-sentence. I think it was the story about Family Guy, and it just ended with a hyphenated word and didn't go anywhere. And there's no, and they keep having all these like little arrows as if it's a browser saying, click here for more information. And you can't click there because it's a newspaper. They're not doing anything for newspaper sales by encouraging people to go online and read things online for free when instead of buying the newspaper. I don't know. I just got really upset. Why did I start that rant? Oh, because this is badly written. Yeah. Nobody writes well
online
anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, at the beginning, you heard me stumble over it because the sentence reads, as a commenter noted, WikiLeaks founder did not attend the Next Hope. I mean, that's bad right there. It should be the WikiLeaks founder. I let that one go, but I'm not going to let this one go. Prompted the mysterious to change his mind. Come on, people. You can do better than this. All right. Instead of Assange in person or speaking by video, his replacement was WikiLeaks contributor and Tor Project programmer Jacob Applebaum. In a recent New Yorker profile, Assange is portrayed as being paranoid about U.S. Fed spying. I have to take this. You want to continue? Well, go ahead. Just talk about something while I take the phone. This could be the power. Hello.
All right. Well, replacement speaker
Hello?
Came and was able to explain
yes,
basically the position of WikiLeaks. And he did a fairly good job under the circumstances, and it was very fortunate that someone did come to represent that position. And you know, I think everybody in the audience received it well, and were thankful that something was said on his behalf, if the circumstances weren't allowing him to be there in person. So, this is really distracting.
I'm sorry. I'm going to go out to the other room because there's really bad cell phone coverage in here, and it's about the power.
Okay.
Just wing it, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, can you hear me now?
So, I'm going to read a little bit more of this WikiLeaks story. It continues... instead of Assange in person or speaking by video, his replacement was WikiLeaks contributor and Tor Project programmer Jacob Applebaum. In a recent New Yorker profile, Assange is portrayed as being paranoid about U.S. Fed spying on him. And why not? Since his site has published a number of classified materials, including a video of U.S. forces killing a Reuters journalist and his assistant in Iraq. However, Assange did attend another conference, the TED Global Conference, on Friday in England, but as CNN reports, quote, he said he had to cancel three public appearances in the United States, including one at the June Conference of Investigative Reporters and Editors in Las Vegas, Nevada, because of unreasonable statements by U.S. officials in private that he may not follow the rule of law, may not follow the rule of law in dealing with him. Wow, that's pretty out there. That they would make that kind of threat. But is everything sorted out? Are you ready?
Oh, all right. Oh boy, you don't want to know.
Yeah. So apparently, this sentence right here, it's unreasonable. U.S. officials said they might not follow the rule of law. That's news to me.
Yeah, they tend not to do that. Hang on, we're switching chairs.
Lord.
I'm sorry about
that. Was incredibly distracting.
Yeah,
putting me on the spot
that.
Like that.
I'm sorry, I never had to do that before, but it was the power company calling. They had some news for us. They said that Transformer apparently, I don't want to use the language they use, but basically it failed.
Got
apparently,
it.
Apparently there aren't many Transformers there, so nobody else was affected. It's a long story, but they're working on it. But it might not be fixed until tomorrow.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So we might be offline for quite some time. Well, our sites are up. They're in different places, but us personally might be offline. Okay, I'm sorry. So you read the story.
Yeah, I read past the second paragraph, and basically...
Any more grievous attacks on the English language, or is it...
Other than me reading it, no, not, I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sure you read marvelously.
Thank you, but I did mention just that it was really good to have Mr. Applebaum show up, and that I think the audience was pleased to have somebody there representing that side of the argument in his absence.
So you didn't read the last paragraph.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay,
no.
Let me read
Go
the
ahead,
last paragraph
please.
Because this is the really fascinating part here. At the Next Hope conference, Applebaum described WikiLeaks operations. According to CNET, Applebaum wasn't taking any chances. After his speech ended, he indicated he'd be back after the leaked video finished playing, but he ducked behind a curtain and left the conference hotel through a rear door. While a doppelganger wearing the same style of black hoodie with his head covered made a very public exit through the front. So basically, what we did was we hustled this guy out through the front visibly. Everybody thought it was the same guy because he came out dressed the same way as the guy that came in. And all these reporters and other people followed. And by the time they realized that they had been fooled, the real person had already left. And I imagine there were some federal authorities in there, too, that weren't too pleased. So, yeah, that's testament to what our security people were able to pull off.
I was really impressed with that. I had no idea. I thought he walked out the front, and I'm thankful. You know, I think that we needed to have a safe and open environment no matter who's there, no matter what they're doing, you know. And I think that dialogue, you know, needed to happen, and it's really, really a testament to planning and organization and cohesion that we're able to be, you know, have an environment that's conducive of that.
Yeah. I'm just looking at other possible stories here. We certainly had a number of other things going on as far as controversy. Well, you had a talk too. I want to get into your talk because that's one of the talks I did see.
Oh man.
You had your talk on Telephone Pioneers of America, and it was your first speaking engagement. And I think you presented it extremely well. I think the crowd was very interested. And
thank you.
Yeah, it was basically two sides of the spectrum here, from extremely controversial headline story to a really cool look at the history of telephones and the first days of phone companies and things like that, and the parallels to the hacker world and the early days of telephones, and just the interest that so many people had in that. It was incredible because there was always something to see, and in fact, there was too much to see.
Yeah.
Nobody could get to everything. That's why we make the DVDs. That's why the DVDs are out there, and we'll be making them available very, very soon on our website, and the audio will be made available very soon as well.
I'll have to say, with this this controversial stuff, the WikiLeaks talks and panels, it really felt it was astonishing to be myself talking about history and then being a part of history in action, you know, in the present with those stories. So the history was definitely being made, being talked about, and being looked at all the way in the past, way in the past. But,
well, I found, yes, and you're, oh my God, look at that.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, I'm seeing this for the first time. But your talk, one of over 100 talks that was given at the Hope Conference, and again, well done, and we hope to hear more
Thank
from you.
Thank you. Yeah, I got a lot of compliments, and a lot of people liked the pictures, and I'd be interested. I'd be happy to do it again, you know, somewhere. Who knows?
Well, that's, I'm sure you're available for engagements and any city in the world, probably, as I am as well. You know, talk about the hacker world and things like that. It's always fun to see new people and talk about these things. Let's do this. Let's go into delay,
sure.
And then we'll open up the phone lines. But I also want to read the story that I just found on online, which is rather interesting in and of itself. Our phone number is 631-632-9872. That spells 631-632-WUSB. We'd like to hear from people who are at the conference and get their feelings, get their opinions, answer their questions, receive their criticism, or whatever. We'll be right back.
Greetings, Earthlings. We are the Sea Creatures, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
And we're back with more of Off the Wall. Again, the phone number, 631-632-9872. 9872. Give us a call. Here's an article about something controversial that happened at the conference on Sunday, where we basically had a lot of the heavy hitters appear together. We basically, on the panel, I don't think we've ever done this before, we had Kevin Mitnick, we had Fiber Optic, we had Bernie S., and they all told a bit of their stories and how it related to the concept of informants, people who turn into witnesses for the government and give statements, testify against people they used to work with or people that used to be their friends in an attempt to avoid prison, to avoid prosecution themselves. Happens all the time. Now, I put together this panel with that in mind to basically emphasize that point, that what we're seeing with the whole Adrian Lamel, Julian Assange story and with the WikiLeaks and all that is that this is nothing new. This has happened before within the hacker community. People always are being intimidated one way or another into becoming informants, and sometimes they're just slimy people that don't really care for anybody but themselves. There are certainly a lot of people out there who don't turn into informants, but the percentage is quite high. And again, it's nothing new. The difference here, of course, is that this was of global interest. It far exceeded the hacker community. It was all kinds of people around the planet were fascinated by what happened here. And to think that it unraveled because of something within the hacker community was certainly distasteful to a lot of people. Now, we knew that that Adrian Lamel was coming to the conference, and I thought it would just be a tremendous opportunity to just confront this head on. Whenever people tell me to avoid an issue, I want to confront it more than ever. And so many people said to avoid this. So that's why that panel got formed, so that we could basically address the issue in a unique environment that seemed to just sort of present itself in front of us. It just sort of all happened right at our feet. Our keynote speaker being the person at the center of it all, the person who turned the leaker in, somebody who is coming to the conference and has been a part of the hacker community in the past. Great way to confront the issue, ask questions. But the real concern was, would this guy be safe at the conference? Now, I always thought there was kind of a ridiculous question to ask. I always figured that people would behave themselves, be somewhat respectful, even if they thought somebody was a total scumbag. I'm happy to say that proved to be correct, because we had a 90-minute panel discussion, and we brought Adrian out after Fiber and Kevin and Bernie S. told their stories. And yeah, people were not happy with him, but they listened to what he had to say, and we gave them the opportunity to ask questions from the audience on the panel, and the questions were quite pointed and emotional. And to Adrian's credit, he kept his cool, answered the questions. It's up to the people there and the people who will listen in the future as to what kind of a job he did, but the point is that the questions were asked directly. We don't have to read about it in Wired. We don't have to read about it someplace else and have someone else's interpretation of it. We can see directly. We can ask directly. That's what it's all about. And that's what I was hoping would come through. And it did. And all the thanks goes to the HOPE attendees for just making the magic happen. And I think providing a model for this kind of discourse in the future.
Absolutely.
Your microphone is off. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I completely concur. I think that you know, the audience really listened to your concern, and you know, you made it quite clear that this was something you'd been discouraged from doing, and that it was unprecedented, the sensitivity and the proximity, and you know, he did. He went up there and fielded some questions, and you know, we don't have to hear about this from other sources. You know, if he's going to identify or associate himself with this community, we ought to have access. And I think we did. We had that access. We had the opportunity to put questions right to him and get the story, get the scoop right from him as to what happened. And now I think people can look at both sides and actually, you know, having sat and experienced it, I feel like I have a better idea of who's who and what happened and where, you know, each side stands and sort of what's going on. And I was able to feel the mood and sort of what other people were feeling, you know, how they interpreted it. And it made for great discussion, too. Go ahead.
It did. I'd like to read part of this article that we just found on Gizmodo Australia, I believe. And we see some phone calls coming in. We're going to get to them in a moment. So 632 WUSB 631-632-9872 is our phone number, so please be patient. We're going to get right to you. But the title is WikiLeaks critic Adrian Lamo defends Manning decision. He's been called a snitch, a traitor, even a war criminal. He's received death threats regularly, but Sunday, Adrian Lamo took the stage at Hope 2010. This is why we couldn't find the story. They didn't get the title, the name of the conference right.
That's not the name.
Hope 2010. Where did they get that from? It was never called that. But you know what else? This is what I'd like to find out. Look at the bottom of this article. They actually have a logo for Hackers on Planet Earth 2010. I've never seen this before.
That's not your logo.
What, they just make that up? Or is that
what?
Something? I don't know where that came
Earth?
From. This is the mass media. They can't get anything right. Can't even get the name of the conference right.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is that 2000? Is that 2010?
No, it says Hope, and underneath that it says
what?
Hackers on Planet Earth 2010. This is what I have to
that
deal with.
That has nothing to do with...
I don't know where that came from. It would be easy if we didn't come up with imaginative names. We just called it Hope 1, Hope 2, Hope 3.
Well, it looks like in the same style of that
yeah,
picture.
We don't. Yeah. Yeah, they go to all this trouble to get a logo without getting the name right.
Right.
Anyway, okay, I'm sorry for that little rant there. Former hacker columnist and security consultant Adrian Lamo is one of a cast of characters in the story of WikiLeaks, controversial whistleblower site. WikiLeaks is most well known for collateral murder, a video based on a leaked Apache helicopter video which showed U.S. forces killing various Iraqis, including two journalists. In May, 22-year-old U.S. Army Private First Class Bradley Manning contacted Lamo over IM, apparently out of the blue. Manning was looking for someone to confide in. According to Lamo, Manning went on to tell him that he leaked the Apache video and that he also leaked 260,000 diplomatic cables. Lamo decided to turn him in and then told the story to Kevin Polson of Wired. Wired reported on Manning's arrest and Lamo's involvement. For many of WikiLeaks supporters, Lamo became persona non grata. WikiLeaks spokesman Jake Applebaum used his Saturday keynote to request that the hacker community shun Lamo. His request was greeted with loud applause. He was given the change to defend himself. On the same stage. I don't mean to be, you know, anal about this, but come on. It's not hard to get... anyway, sorry. He was given the chance to defend himself on the same stage Sunday. He took it. He told the audience that he, like Manning and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, had acted out of conscience. Lamo believed the cables were dangerous. Holy fracking crap. Battlestar Galactica fans here.
You said that three times.
There's 260,000 documents, he said. Do you think you could look through those and make sure they wouldn't cause anybody's life to be lost? A fellow panelist asked whether it had just been the video, not the classified diplomatic cables. Would Lamo have turned Manning in? Absolutely not, Lamo replied. He called Manning his friend and said that he wished he could have been a better friend to him. I wish to hell that Bradley Manning had never said a word to me. Later, speaking to Gizmodo, Lamo filled in details of his story. He said Manning didn't necessarily have access to materials he'd leaked as part of his job. Manning had exceeded his authority. He'd hacked his way into classified data, Lamo said. After Manning had told him about the cables, he'd contacted Army counterintelligence through an ex still involved with the military. He dropped the name of an ongoing counterintelligence program, and according to Lamo, the sensitivity of that name escalated the situation. And after reporting Manning to Army counterintelligence, Lamo continued to chat for 2 to 3 days with Manning online while also telling Army officials about the files Manning claimed to have leaked. It goes on and on, but basically concludes, somewhere in the back and forth, Lamo decided to leak an excerpt of his chat logs with Manning to WikiLeaks. His reasons are murky, but he seemed to see it as some kind of test of their integrity. He claims, okay, it goes on and on here, but basically that's... that's some of the information about what happened at Hope. It was an interesting panel. It really was. One of the most interesting panels I've ever been a part of. And again, I give thanks to the people in the audience and the people on the panel for making it so interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Fiber Optic and Bernie were amazing. Apparently, their informants, there was even some cross-pollination, and it really opened my eyes. And you know, it just made for excellent discussion. And I am just so happy that you, and I acknowledge you, really, for the courage to find a way to do this in the face of everything. Because, you know, if we hadn't created a forum like this, you know, it would be reported, it would be you know, whitewashed by somebody else. And we grabbed the bull by the horns, and I really think this is going to echo and reverberate out there in the world. So,
631-632-9872. Okay, the next person that calls in, we'll get on because we were talking for a while, and yeah, got all distracted by all these stories about the Next Hope, which sometimes don't call it by the right name. I wonder how many other places are going to call it Hope 10 now because of this.
It was the Next Hope.
It was the Next Hope. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I don't know where they got that logo from. There's John Young. You know, I wish I had known he was at the conference because he told us he wasn't going to come. But apparently he was there, a 74-year-old architect who lives in Manhattan, publishes a document leaking website called Cryptome.org that predates WikiLeaks by over a decade. He's drawn fire from Microsoft after posting leaked internal documents about police requests, irked the UK government for disclosing the names of possible spies, annoyed Homeland Security by disclosing a review of Democratic National Convention security measures, had a lot of things to say about – apparently he was in the audience, had a lot of things to say about WikiLeaks as well. This goes on for quite a while. I'm not going to really get into it, but it's another story I will be reading about the Next Hope. So much there. Wow. Yeah. Are the calls aren't coming in. They were coming in before. This always happens. People call in. We only have a couple of minutes. So, people, you got to call in now if you want to be on the air. 631-632-9872. It's like we're being punished here because we talked for too long. Any other thoughts on what may have happened at the Next Hope? There were so many other things as well. The aftermath, I suppose. We're all very tired. You lose a day afterwards. We can't really remember what happened on Monday. And today is the first real full day, and it's sort of like being on jet lag, you know, yeah. you know, feel tired or what.
I was really impressed with the cleanup and the way volunteers helped out in that way, and also many thanks to the hotel.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They were incredibly kind to us, and all the people that signed petitions to save the hotel.
We had a petition going around called Save Hotel Pennsylvania because, as you may have heard, Vornado Realty wants to tear it down and build a huge office complex, which is a horrible idea. The history of that place is just so incredible, from telephone pioneer meetings in 1931 to Glenn Miller to all kinds of other gatherings and happy occasions to what's going on today in the present. We were in there and we were taking up a lot of space and making a lot of noise and causing all kinds of controversy. But the hotel was filled with all sorts of other people visiting New York from all over the world, and it was just fun to see them, to mix with them, to give them directions if they were lost or needed help with something. And that's the magic of a place like that, a place where people can kind of just get together and see something magical for the first time. And, you know, you reminded me today as we left the hotel and ran across the street to the train station to grab a train out here, that it was very much like leaving a city in Europe because we were leaving a hotel, jumping onto a train, and it was just kind of hectic.
You know, you're absolutely right.
You're the one absolutely
no,
right.
No. I didn't quite know exactly what about that, like leaving the hotel part, but it was in the train station. It dawned on me, just like all the traveling we've done and will probably do. Mm-hmm. We left the hotel, you know, after everything, all the loose ends were tied up, and got tickets, got some food, jumped on a train, and we were off, and a nice, real train ride, and it was deja vu.
Go crazy. It wasn't really a real train. I mean, the European trains are nice, real trains. These trains are, they're adequate, I guess, but, you know, there's no trash receptacle, there's no table to put your computer or newspaper on, or snack, or whatever. It's crowded. It's like being in a tin can and pressed up against other people. But, you know, it worked. It got us where we needed to go. Yeah, it was all right, I guess. You know what? We're not getting calls. I know it's going to happen, just like it does every week. At 7 o'clock, people are going to start calling in, and then we won't be able to take the phone calls. I don't know what to do. Do we start the show at 7? I don't know. Write to us. Okay, don't SMS us. Write to us. Email... otw@2600.com. That's our email address. We'd like to hear from you. And we'll be back again next week with all kinds of other fun things going on. Yeah, we're a bit out of it, right, Carl? We're it's been fun. It's been, we haven't gotten enough sleep. We're still recovering. Tomorrow we'll be recovering on Off the Hook, and hopefully next week we'll sound a little bit more together, right?
Absolutely, we'll have it all back on track here.
And if there's anything you want to share with us about the Next Hope, write to us, otw@2600.com. Send us your recollections. Send us your newspaper articles, if you have any, about the conference. We'd certainly like to hear all your thoughts. All right. Have a good night. See you next week.
Good night. We'll be right back.
Hey kids, you're listening to Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB Stony Brook. Special guest tonight, Stony Brook Film Festival director Alan Ankles, and I'm sure we have a little something to give away. Starts this week, baby, and then special guest DJ Brian O'Hare in the studio. Stay tuned. Yeah, of course, that was the theme from The Prisoner, and you are listening to Finn's Revolution. And we do have a special guest in the studio right now, so we're going to start the show by saying hi, Alan.
Hey, Finn. Thanks for having me on.
Good to see you. Alan Ankles, director of the Stony Brook Film Festival, which starts when, Alan?
Starts this Thursday night, July 22nd.
Okay, and so this Thursday, and it runs for like a week and a few days,
it's
right?
It's 10 days, yeah. 33 films over 10 days.
Fantastic. And always, always a treat, always some great stuff on the festival schedule. And I'm thumbing through the magazine here, the brochure for it, the program, and certainly no different this year. It's some great, great films.
Yeah, I'm really excited this year. You know, we had almost 800 entries came in this year we looked through. And, it's you know, a lot of festivals play 100, 200 films. We have really gone the distance to give our audience the best films out there, American films, foreign films, shorts, features. And we do the picking. We have a 1,000-seat theater. It's a big theater, big 40-foot screen, like the old days of single reel movie. And, you know, when I go to Sundance and I go to Tribeca and Hamptons, you know, you pick one movie to go to at a certain time and there's 12 opposite it. And you get in the theater and 10 minutes in, you say, damn, missed the right film. Should have gone somewhere else. So you're kind of stuck with it with us. We kind of go through the films, pick what we feel are the best films out there, and play one at a time in our big theater. So you can see all 33 films over 10 days without – and actually squeeze a job in there if you want to. Or although a lot of people do take vacation. But it's you can get in. And we tried to start a little later in the night, not start in the afternoon, not compete with the sun. So other than really the Saturday night – or the Sunday night, everything starts from 7 o'clock on, so you can still have the sun, your barbecue, do all your thing. And Sunday, we got three movies for you. So Sunday, we're going to keep you in from 5 o'clock on.
And that's the way to spend the summer anyway, right? You spend the day outside, and then you hit a movie at
absolutely.
Night. And as we're always saying here, you know, there's nothing in the world like seeing a movie in a movie theater. And so many of us now just don't do that for what we think are convenience reasons, whatever the other issues are, but you know, time factors, whatever it may be. But there's nothing like going out, grabbing a bite to eat, checking out a film.
It's an event. You know, and the nice thing about the film festival is, you know, how many times you get out of a movie and say, what the heck did that guy mean? Well, a lot of times during the festival, you can ask him, you know, or her. A lot of filmmakers come out for the films. We have some actors that come out with the films. And like you said, you're in a big theater. It's packed. We usually fill up the theater with 1,000 people for each night. And it's a communal feeling, and you're going to see films that are intelligent films, some foreign language ones, independent art films. So if you don't want to go see Inception or Iron Man 62 this summer, you know, it's a good alternative. You can see those also, but if you want to see something that might be a little more interesting, a little more thought-provoking, I hope. And there's some good comedies and dramas, and some of them are a little more mainstream and look like a film that's in the local theater. But for the most part, these are films that unfortunately will never get to the theaters. You might find them on Netflix one day. And the saddest part, Finn, is that some of these films you'll never get to see. I've got people who've come to a film three, 4 years ago There's a film, Children of Glory, a Hungarian film we showed 3 years ago that people went nuts for. You can't get it on DVD. You can't find it in, you know, anywhere. And that's the saddest part about it. The good news is that a lot of these films will get picked up because they're playing here in other festivals. So audiences get to come and take a look at films and actually help be part of the process for these wonderful independent films.
Let's talk a little about some of the films we're showing, Alan, starting this week. Opening night, you have quite the selection.
I couldn't resist. You know, it's a double Dutch bill. It came in a very odd way. Last year, there was a film called Bride Flight, which I fell in love with. And a distributor had it, a foreign distributor. And it hadn't played America yet. And they were looking to try and play Cannes Film Festival. So they couldn't quite give me the film yet. They said, we're not sure where it's going to be. Let's take a look and see where next year is. So in the fall, I reached them again. And they said, well, we just sold the film to Music Box Films. And luckily, the guy who runs Music Box Films is a good friend and used to run Empire Pictures. And he said, Alan, you can have the film. Great. Maybe we'll do, you know, opening night, a big premiere before it opens in America. Around the same time, a friend of mine who runs a film company in the Netherlands, Alan De La Vida, who gave us a film, Ellis and Glamourland, in 2005, sent me the film The Storm and said, take a look at this film. Well, the oddest thing about it is that not only these two films based around the same historical incident in the 1950s in the Netherlands, this great flood, it's the same director. One is the actual storm that took place in the Netherlands, and one is these women that go to New Zealand from the Netherlands to find husbands after they lost their families in the storm. Mm-hmm. So what are the odds are of the same incident, same director, same country? So I said, we got to put them together. We got to find a way to put them together. So I said, it's a great opening night, Bill. Of course, the director is now making two movies, can't make it out. But the producer, Alan De La Vida, is coming out. And the wonderful actress from The Storm, Sylvia Hoax, who's this beautiful, wonderful actress who plays the lead. We convinced her to come out from the Netherlands. So she'll be here opening night.
Wow.
So it's kind of it just is too good to pass up. Even the Dutch Consul General is coming out for it because, you know, they got to wipe their eyes from losing to Spain in the World Cup. They need something to hang their hat
on.
That's
right. Will the audience all be wearing orange that evening?
I was hoping we could celebrate. So I lost my opening night line on stage. So here you go. What can you do? Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, both these movies seem, and that's a historical thing also that not a lot of people knew about.
And a lot of films are based on. I mean, it's funny. I didn't plan it that way, but I would say a third of the feature films have some connection to a true story or historically based. Mm-hmm. So you not only get a great film festival, you get a history lesson by coming out at this festival.
Mm-hmm. What else do we have coming up on Friday?
Friday is two good American independent films. We've got back to back the East Coast premiere of Five Star Day. Very cool film. It's got Cam Gigonet in that. It's got Jenna Malone. Max Hartman, wonderful actor, will be out for the festival. It's about this guy who just, for his thesis for school, wants to disprove astrology. His wife, his girlfriend, who cheats on him in the opening scene. I didn't give too much away. It's the first few minutes. he wants to disprove it. And he goes and finds these three people born on the same day, the same year, in the same hospital in Chicago that he was born on. And it takes him across the country to find these people. And it's a really good kind of dramatic film with some comedy and good acting, good story. And then the film after that is based, again, on a historical fact, on the Tony Jo Henry, the first woman accused of murder, who was sentenced to the electric chair. I'm not going to tell you what happened in case you don't know the story. Mm-hmm. It's based on a true story. Jamie Lee King, who you may remember, was the one survivor from My Bloody Valentine in 3D. I did see that movie. She was the best thing in that movie. And I'll leave it at that. And that film, and she's done a bunch of other things. She's been in, I think, in The Spirit. I think she was in Fanboy. I think she was the nurse in Pearl Harbor. But this is her best role in this film. And we would have had her, but she's got a new part in a new series in ABC, and she's filming that in Texas. So between that and Comic-Con, I'm losing actress to Comic-Con. All my big stars are going somewhere else this weekend. But
yeah, but the movies are there.
The movies are there. The directors are there. Tom Anton, who was back, who was out in 2005 with the film At Last, will be back. His wife, Sandy Russell, wrote the film. She'll be out here. So it's two good American films, and that's the world premiere. It's the first screening. He just finished the film. We're the first ones taking a look at this film, and I think there'll be some distribution interest because it's a big film, well-made, well-acted, fairly decent budget for an independent film, and that'll be the late film on Friday night.
And Saturday, you have quite a double bill of
Saturday
a real
also,
blockbuster.
You know, yeah, lovely,
here.
Lovely still. Really great film that I also wanted last year, but they weren't finished with it. Film premiered at Toronto, Lovely Still. It's got two great actors in the lead roles, Martin Landau and Ellen Burstyn. And the two supporting roles are also great actors, younger actors who you know from a bunch of films. You've got Elizabeth Banks and Adam Scott. So you've got two actors also in that film that, that support the film great. And as I said, we tried to get it last year. They weren't finished. They were tweaking it. And it just was picked up by Monterey Media. So the film will open up in the fall across the country in art houses. But we have the East Coast premiere of that film. That's the early film. And then 9:30, we got a nice coup. Last year, we showed The Answer Man, which was a Magnolia picture. We had Jeff Daniels and Lauren Graham come out for that film. This year, their new quirky, funny, dramatic comedy. It's got Kevin Kline, Paul Dano, who you remember from There Will Be Blood and Little Miss Sunshine, and Katie Holmes is in that film. You've got John C. Reilly, Alicia Goranson, and that's The Extra Man. They got this movie with this, Magnolia's got this man thing going, Answer Man, now Extra Man. And that film will open up in the theaters just after we have it. We have it on Saturday night, and it opens up theatrically July 30th across the country. So we have a couple of films that will be opening here before they open up the theaters, and then, of course, other films that are seeking distribution that will hopefully open up in theaters someday.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sunday, you have a bunch of really interesting films. Triple Bill, yeah.
And that was actually, we already had in place Berlin 36, another really interesting film, and actually very timely, because the woman... just lost her name now. The character that's based on